Wow, I have to tell you, having a conversation with Father Peter Vu off the air was such a treat for me. And the various things that we were able to discuss before we actually now have sat down to do this interview that all of you are listening to, what an interesting man, and what an interesting road he's taken to his vocation, and what a treat to have him on the show. And he's written a book called Living for a Higher Purpose, Story of a City Boy Who Survived the Vietnam War by Living for Jesus and Others. And this is certainly inspirational, and it's a memoir, and there's a lot of history here. So Father Vu, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Kate. Let me send you and our listeners the native greeting from the people of Vietnam. Good morning, Vietnam, in the voice of Robin William. And the weather today is hot and humid, tomorrow hot and humid, and basically the same for the rest of the week.
Bravo, well done. You have a sense of humor. I love that sense of humor. And I'm sure that sense of humor helped you get through some really, really tough times. Take us back, because you talk about the history of what it was like, because you were there as a young boy in Vietnam. What was it like for you in Vietnam, what you saw, and how you escaped that?
Well, Kate and audience, I was 5 years old when the war ended. You know, everything was exploding around me, but like anything, my parents was able to keep me from all that. We didn't watch a lot of that on the news, and I didn't know the war ended until the last day. And you know, everything, my house is about 5-10 minutes bicycle ride from Tansinyat Airport. And I saw, you know, airplanes, you know, running into the buildings and everything else, tanks all over the road, soldiers, you know, running naked, and, you know, a lot of carnage on the street. I thought that was the last day that being described in the book of Revelation. And of course, after that, you know, the horrific, you know, life under the communist system. And my dad was taken to the concentration camp when I was 5 years old. And I had to find out where they took him and go to visit him. And then I did not see him. And by the miracle, he was released when I was in high school senior year. So life after the war was very tough, say the least. And I had to grow up fast, and you know, everything there under the communists is something that regular people don't know how it was like. I myself basically tried to be the man of the home for my mom, and I remember when she and I went to visit my dad, it took us quite a few times to track down where he was and to bring food and to see him. And I basically had to go get all the basic necessity, you know, for the family, you know, from going to the well to get water, to get all the rice and basic necessity for the family. I remember the, you know, when the rice ran out, mostly in the book of Prophet Isaiah, you know, when the poor widow and the son did not have anything left. I thought that was, you know, the last day. But like in the Bible, I saw that miracles happen with the rice being filled up in my house because the communist was able to open up, you know, the rice distribution a little early. And so I went through all that. And of course, I don't know if you and the listener remember, this is the late 80s. So the Khmer Rouge was in Cambodia, killed a lot of people. And China was amassing a lot of troops on the north border of Vietnam. So I and all my friends, you know, was drafted when we were only in 10th grade to learn how all about weapons and how to take up arms and all that. So that was quite an experience in itself. And of course, you know, I myself, you know, had to make a decision whether to stay in Vietnam or to leave and follow my God's calling, my own vocation.
And for you to leave Vietnam, what was it like to leave Vietnam? How did you make that decision? And you see, now we see immigration and the crisis we're having at the border. Does that bring back memories for you? We see what's happening in South Florida with Cubans that were trying to escape and were on boats, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that was a tough decision, Kate. I was only 16 when I had to make that decision. Leaving everything behind was difficult because I grew up with, most Asian families are very quite, connected. And we lived together for 3 or 4 generations in the same household. So leaving everything, family and friends, was difficult, and heading for the unknown was difficult too. I don't know what happened, about America. I just know it's a wonderful land, just like God's people in the Bible. I mean, they're trying to look for the promised land, but they don't know what's there. And I myself had to discern that. And, if I stay, I would have to, I would have to go to Cambodia to fight the Khmer Rouge, or go up north to fight China. My dad worked for the South Vietnam, so I could not, go to college because they don't want, people who work for the former regime, the children, grandchildren, to succeed because they might turn against the communists. So I didn't have any choice, Kate. So I have to make that decision to go out into the unknown, and almost like the darkness of the soul. I did not succeed. I had to try 3-4 times. And in the book, I describe how those failed times I had to go through. And one time I was captured. Other time I was able to escape. So when I was captured, they put me in prison, almost like the political prisoners, even though we ourselves, we just tried to sneak out. And, enduring all the interrogations and harsh living, which I didn't have to deal with that before. It was quite an eye-opening. And then, of course, the last time I tried with persistence, I was able to succeed. And that was quite a trip in itself. Remind me a lot of the trip out Egypt for God's people. I live in Saigon, so I had to sneak out at night, go to some area close to the river, and, contact would take me to from one small boat to the next boat. And finally, if everything goes well, then we would end up in the big boat. And in order for me to have those trips, my family had to pay the price for that. And it could go up to to a few thousand dollars. And the last trip, I myself was put in this boat, and it was a harrowing experience in the cell, Kate. We thought we would get caught because I could hear the Coast Guard people asked, what's underneath the ship. And the captain basically said, only fish. And somehow, by miracle, they believed that. So they did not search. And so the next thing we know that we went through that, and why that whole thing, the search was happening. Little kids also cry. And we thought the cover would be blown and we would get captured. And somehow, through that dark night, I look up in the sky. I could only see the stars and and nothing else. And the next morning, we found out that we were in the international water. So the captain let us, go up to the, to the deck and get some fresh air. Of course, we were not fishermen, so the sea was make us seasick, and then and of course tar from the boat make us get sick. We did not have food or water. They gave us just enough water to last. Our boat was floating at sea for 7 days, almost over a week before we get rescued. So during that time, we ran into a big storm, Kate. And that storm was, was the biggest storm I ever seen. Later, I came over here and saw the movie, The Perfect Storm, and tears rolling down my eyes because that was, a similar storm that I went through. I thought that night we would never make it. We prayed for rain, and the next thing we know that we got a big storm. The storm basically, the wave was like about 20 feet high, and it cracked, the front of the boat, and we thought the boat would get torn apart.
Wow.
So we survived the storm. Yeah, we survived the storm. And, just like they say, be careful what you pray for, you might get it. So we got the water. So the water went inside the boat. And the boat itself is a dinky little boat. We had about 70 people.
Wow, 70, 80 people. Father Vu, can you stay with us for another segment and continue this story?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.